Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
All right, everybody, welcome. Sean says 1 minute, so hold on, sit tight. All right, everybody, we are live right here on YouTube.tv as well as on Blog Talk Radio. We are your boys for the evening. I'm Tristan Ducrosse, and on my side is always my partner in crime, the one and only, Sean Ducrosse. Tristan, what a big week we've got for the fight fans here going on. Is that UFC 203 just went down. And it was just the tip of the iceberg of the week of combat, right? UFC 203 happened, and the much-anticipated debut of CM Punk lasted all about 2 minutes. Very, very, very true. When you look about what happened at UFC 203 and you're wondering about, well, this just went on and this is all happening, you got to take it with a grain of salt and realize, you know what? Things that are happening are sometimes out of your control. And CM Punk's debut was simply out of everybody's control. It was going to happen one way or another. Whether it took a year, 2 years, whatever it may be, it was going to happen. Not you, not anybody else was going to change that. So the complaining, the bickering of CM Punk shouldn't have fought. That's irrelevant. Because he did. He got the shot. You didn't. That's the only reason why everybody's complaining is about did he deserve it, did he not deserve it. That's all well and dandy. The fact is, Sean, let's also just throw this out here too, is that this is a new era of UFC. What is gone is the meaningful rankings. Let's just be real about that. What the rankings had met previously is no longer there. And I think one of the people that has kind of cemented that has been Conor McGregor. He's been the guy that's been behind this because everything that he has done has thrown out all the rankings out the door. Because it's been about the payday. It's been about the big money fights. Has it not?
It has.
And it's been one of those things that it's smart business by the UFC for that approach. But at the same time, it wasn't one of the intelligent, smart moves because it kind of takes the fans out of the aspect of, oh, I want to see this guy fight. Oh, this guy's ranked this. I want to see this. It's kind of gone away from that. And you saw it on our Facebook. Everybody had different opinions about CM Punk, where the UFC stands, and everything else like that. About the money, about what transpires. And everybody had their opinion. And it's truly amazing when you think about it because what is gone are the days of the rankings. What is gone of today is what your opinion matters the most. What is the reality of the situation is that we are looking at an environment that is no longer, in my eyes, about the fighters. It's no longer about what is going on now. It is more about the entertainment value. It's more about not putting on the best fights but the best show.
And if you want to go that approach, I'm perfectly fine with it.
But see, I'm okay with that. They just have to tell people that that's the direction they're going.
Absolutely.
Because I'm looking at it as exactly like Bellator. But a more of a heavier, money-driven Bellator, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. I think they've seen what Bellator has done successfully. Again, we say it almost every show to the combat fans, okay? We say it about maybe 3 times a show, it seems like. And people are probably getting annoyed with it. But the reality of the situation is that UFC is WWE. You go across the bow and you look at Bellator, Bellator is Impact Wrestling. You look at the things that Impact Wrestling has done successfully. And then you look across and transition over to the UFC, I mean to the WWE, and you see subtle changes of, well, I just saw that over on Impact. But because they've got the money and because they've got the revenue,
it looks a little bit better.
UFC is kind of going that route.
Yep.
When it comes to putting fights together. They're doing it a little bit better. They're not bringing in 40-year-old guys. Even though CM Punk's almost 40, but they're not bringing in guys past their prime. They're bringing in guys who maybe have the capability of transitioning and maybe not. So that's the biggest difference. That's what I see. But it would be nice for the UFC to hint at that a little bit more and change that. It's just like when we were talking on our Facebook about the pay that CM Punk got of $500,000. That kind of turned into a whole thing on its own. Because you look at it and go, well, that's interesting because of the fact that he shouldn't have made $500,000. But you can't control that. He made $500,000 and $2,500 on the Reebok deal. On paper, that's not fair. How does that make any sense to what everybody else makes? And then it was, well, Sean, how does it make any sense for, say, Sage Northcutt? If Sage Northcutt came in and made $120,000, how's that any different than what CM Punk did? My rebuttal to that is simple. Yes, it was a far cry from what he probably should have made, but statistics say that he was a good amateur. Statistics shows that he was going pro. He had fights and legitimacy to his name.
And then we get the rebuttal about, let's talk about selling the fight.
Let's talk about selling the card, right? Conor McGregor can do that. Like nobody's business. Brock Lesnar can do it. Like nobody's business.
Good for the sport, bad for the sports. Everybody's going to have their own opinion.
But here's the kicker. The sales went through the roof for the merchandise, okay?
Yeah.
For CM Punk. The pay-per-view buys
from doubled.
From what I'm hearing, yes, has doubled. So he was a bigger draw than what Brock Lesnar was,
right?
For the UFC with next to no pub, no pedigree or anything like that in mixed martial arts except for training and doing YouTube videos with Henry Gracie. That's his only fame in mixed martial arts outside of WWE.
But everybody looks at the 0-0 record, and that means everything.
He wanted to show the world that just because somebody said you couldn't do it, made him push himself that much further. He didn't care if he was going to get his butt kicked. He didn't. And if anybody says that, he lost a couple brain cells somewhere along the way because
he got beat so bad.
Right. Beautiful violence was absolutely put on him. Mickey Gall then calls out Sage Northcutt, and you're talking about Sage Northcutt, and
who pulls out of the fight before even accepting the fight at UFC 205.
Again, as Mickey Gall, dude, you fought a guy that's 0-0. You fought a celebrity to get into the UFC, and everybody's talking about how good Mickey Gall is.
Mickey Gall is good on the ground.
Let's look at his pedigree, how he got here.
Yes, he got here because he was a good amateur.
Sean,
he got here.
He beat up a celebrity.
Yes, but he got to the UFC.
No. He beat up a celebrity before he got to Punk.
Who was the celebrity? He didn't beat up anybody.
Yes, he did. One of the guys that he beat on his record, on his first pro fight, something like that, he beat a celebrity. then he gets picked up. The guy that he beat shouldn't even have been in an MMA cage, but he was. But that's what I'm saying. Everybody on surface looks at Mickey Gall. He's in a murderer's row right now in that division, in 170.
We're going to agree to disagree on this one because Mickey Gall has one of the best ground games in the middleweight division.
But let's see
but
him
if
prove
he's,
it against somebody that's worthy.
Absolutely. I couldn't disagree with you more. I mean, couldn't agree with you more. But Mickey Gall is at the top of the food chain in terms of the young bucks coming into the big game. So you look at this and you go, well, CM Punk calls out Sage Northcutt. I like that fight for Mickey Gall as well as Sage Northcutt because it goes hand in hand with what Mickey Gall is doing. He's evolving. He's taking smart, strategic fights. And when you look at it and you say, well, you know what? He wants to work on his stand-up. Who better to work on his stand-up than Sage Northcutt?
Mike Jackson is the glorified celebrity.
Why is he a glorified celebrity? Makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me how he's a glorified celebrity.
Because he was somewhere along the line, he was in Hollywood or a TV show and stuff like that before he ever got into MMA.
No, let's just stop that.
I'm saying that's what it is. Do your research. That's who the guy is. That is a glorified celebrity. He was a joke. They handpicked him to puff up a Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall then got Phil Brooks, who shouldn't even be in a cage, was in a cage. I'm not impressed with Mickey Gall. I think that he needs a heck of a lot more seasoning. You know, he beat up a guy that he should have beat up.
Again, that's why it makes sense to fight Sage Northcutt. He hasn't fought anybody yet. So you put him in Sage Northcutt, he continues to evolve. He's shown that he's good on the ground. He shows that he's capable of submitting people. So you look at this and go, okay, you know what? It's a good opportunity for him to continue to progress. Everybody's going to be watching him to see what he's going to do next. Well, what's next for Uriah Faber? That's the thing that's got everybody questioning. You look at Uriah Faber, and Uriah Faber is seemingly running out of gas.
That's an understatement.
There's nothing left in his tank, it seems like. He couldn't hit Jimmy Rivera. He couldn't even get close to Jimmy Rivera. At what point do you throw in the towel? We said this last week. We said it the week before. There's a question that I raise that I'll get to when we talk about Bellator 161. It ties in with a fighter over on that card as well. But I will say this. Uriah Faber is a glorified journeyman. I mean, well, not a glorified journeyman, sorry. He's a glorified gatekeeper now for that division. All he is at the middle of the road. People are going to go fight him to earn the status of climbing up the non-essential ranking. So you look at it and you go, well, it makes no sense. But I'm just wondering about, well, you look across the bow and you say, well, he lost 21 pounds. He had to cut 21 pounds to make this fight.
Very true.
So how many people are going to make that plea against him as why he didn't beat Jimmy Rivera?
I don't know.
They're now talking about Uriah Faber facing John Lineker.
And he'll get his head punched right through the cage.
That fight alone scares me with how hard John Lineker hits.
Dude, we'll talk about Bellator 161 that's coming up because Uriah Faber, when I look at Uriah Faber and I look at his body of work, and then I look at another man named Joe, the baddest man on the planet, Warren, right? I look at those two, I can almost compare the similarities of the two because of where they've gone, where their paths are taking them. And I look at Uriah Faber, and he is a glorified gatekeeper right now for that division. Like, he's the guy that, same thing that goes with Joe Warren. He's the guy that has the name. He has the pedigree behind him. He's been the champion.
He's the guy that everybody, no matter how good he is or how talented he is or what's left in his tank, he's the guy that on your record, you want to have him on your record. You beat Uriah Faber. Your standing in the rankings immediately jumps you up, Sean, because you beat up a guy that is just as talented or was talented and has a name behind him. Joe Warren, same exact thing. In his last three fights, he is, what, 0-2?
But we'll get to that later.
Yes.
We'll get to Joe Warren and his issues over in Bellator later. The bottom line is the UFC with 203 somehow obliterated the ratings. Somehow CM Punk gets overpaid. But then you look at the main event. Look at, what is it? See, Miocic versus Alistair Overeem. What did I say last week?
He said Miocic versus Overeem. I'm still trying to figure out what fight was that. Like, Overeem looked like he was scared, running around the octagon like as if